This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Respected علماء، elders، brothers، sisters and lovely younger ones، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. First of all, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the greatest gift which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to humanity, which is the gift of Iman, the gift of Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Secondly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having given us the opportunity of coming together in the house of Allah on this glorious and auspicious and beautiful occasion of Jumu'ah. Jamaat al-Muslimin, I suppose throughout the country and probably throughout the world in these last 2 weeks leading up to the holy month of Ramadan, everybody's excitement is peaking. A Muslim is very excited for the month of Ramadan because this is the one month of the year where Allah Ta'ala's mercy and His blessings and everything is with us multiplied. Allah Ta'ala's blessings is always with us, but multiplied in this holy month of Ramadan. And if one looks at the objective of Ramadan, then a lot of attention will be given to one specific issue in the life of a Muslim. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions that in the Quran, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, "A'udhu billahi min shaytan rajeem." يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. A lot of attention will be paid to this quality of taqwa, because the objective of Ramadan is what Allah Ta'ala says is. Very often we hear that the objective of Ramadan is so that you can feel the difficulty that your brothers are going through when they are in hunger, the starvation, we feel the difficulty and so on. Allah Ta'ala says, no, the objective is actually taqwa. Those are fringe benefits of Ramadan. To feel the suffering of your brothers, to feel how it is to go hungry, those are all fringe benefits. But Allah Ta'ala says the objective of Ramadan is taqwa. But what is taqwa? Taqwa is defined by various ulama in various ways. اجتناب الكبائر وترك الإصرار على الصغائر. To stay away completely from major sins and to avoid repeatedly indulging in minor sins. This is one of the definitions of taqwa. However, there is a very comprehensive definition of taqwa for those ulama and scholars in the book Kitab al-Taqwa of Ibn Abi Dunya. He makes mention of a narration from Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, where he defines taqwa. And he says, "At-taqwa hiya al-khawf min al-jaleel wal-amal bil-tanzeel wal-ridha bil-qaleel wal-istidaal li-yawm ar-rahim." He says taqwa is four things. Now, before I get into what these four things are, in Cape Town when people speak of taqwa, say Godvreesenheid. In Afrikaans they'll say Godvreesenheid. In English they'll say the fear of Allah. I feel if one looks at the definition of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, then we have missed the mark with our translation. Because we inspire fear in people with this translations. Godvreesenheid means to be afraid of Allah. And the English translation, fearing Allah, it tells you everything. People should fear Allah. Surah Fatiha has Umm al-Quran, the mother of the Quran, because it gives birth to the rest, which means everything flows from Surah Fatiha. And read Surah Fatiha just in the first three ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم. Four times in the first three ayat Allah Ta'ala mentions He is most merciful. So do you fear the one who is most merciful, or do you have hope in the one who is most merciful? But taking the definition of Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه, it now gives us a much more comprehensive view of what taqwa is. Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه says, number one, taqwa is only 25% fear. Al-khawf min al-jaleel. To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's 25% of taqwa. Because if you got a whole and it's divided into four, then that means each one of the fourths are 25%. So Sayyidina Ali رضي الله عنه says, al-khawf min al-jaleel. To fear Allah. But then in the explanation of al-khawf min al-jaleel, he says not to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala personally, but to fear that punishment which goes hand in hand with the disobedience of Allah. But a Muslim does not fear his Rabb. We do what we do out of love for our Rabb. At our madrasa, for example, our maktaba, after madrasa, I've got a rule that the teachers need to obey, and I'm not very strict as a principal, very lenient, but there's one rule that I don't compromise on. Children who are not mukallaf shouldn't even know about the punishment of Allah. They should only fall in love with Allah. Because if at that age we teach them the love of Allah, then whatever they will be doing will be done out of love. Now if one looks at two ways of inspiring a child to do something, one is via love and the other one is via fear, then which one is done sincerely? The one done for love or the one done for fear? If a child does an action out of fear, that child has no sincerity in what they are doing. They are merely trying to avoid the repercussions. That's all that they're trying to do. But there's no sincerity in what they are doing. But if that same child does something out of love, then that entire heart of that child is connected to what they are doing. And the sincerity will be attached to that. Similarly with our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do things merely out of fear, it's good to avoid the punishment of Allah. It's important. But if we do things only out of fear, then there'll be a lack of sincerity in the heart. However, if one does something due to love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then automatically the sincerity is greater. So Sayyidina Ali bin Talib al-Wa'anu, he says, taqwa is one-fourth, one-quarter, is to do with fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fearing the repercussions of our misdeeds. Not fearing Allah, but fearing the repercussions of our misdeeds, our disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He carries on, he says, Al-Khawf min al-Jaleel wal-Amal bil-Tanzeel. And subhanallah, Al-Amal bil-Tanzeel. Three words, but look how comprehensive these three words are. Al-amalu bit-tanzeel, to practice upon revelation. So what is revelation? Quran is revelation of Allah. But is that the only revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Surah Al-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of what revelation is. Allah ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks, then he does not speak from his own desires, but what he speaks is a revelation inspired to him. So which means Allah Ta'ala makes the Quran wahi, but Allah Ta'ala similarly makes the utterance of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wahi as well. I'm not making it wahi. I'm saying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, by word Allah Ta'ala actually states it is wahi. In huwa illa wahiyun yuha. It is wahi, it is a revelation which was inspired to Rasulullah. So his words, his actions, his deeds, it's wahi. So when Sayyidina Ali says, Al-amal bil-tanzeel, to practice upon revelation, it's a very comprehensive statement. To do whatever Allah Ta'ala has instructed us in the Quran and to do whatever Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us in the Sunnah. This is Amal al-Tanzeel. So if we look at our lives, then for the rest of our life, we can still aspire to practice upon that revelation. It will never come to an end. Because none of us will be able to completely practice upon the revelation, not in one lifetime. Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum are those guiding lights who saw the revelation coming down, they interacted with the revelation. And top amongst them being Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, my personal hero, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, even he himself has never claimed to have practiced upon the entirety of deen. Because that is special for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to a specific to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to have the ability to implement every single aspect of deen. But that does not mean that we cannot attempt to do so. Our lives should be about attempting to implement every aspect of Sharia, every aspect of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should become part of our lives. But everybody here will say, well, Mullah, what you're saying is impossible. And I agree with you, it's impossible. But does that mean we cannot attempt? We cannot try? Niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is even better than his deed. So imagine we here in this masjid as we are here today, we say that, oh Allah, I make an intention to practice upon every single aspect of your deen. Every single fard, every single sunnah, every single nafl. But I'll do so one step at a time. Because I won't be able to do everything one time. I'll do so one step at a time. But with the intention that I wish to do every aspect of your deen. Then where does the reward lie? In what we have already implemented or what we have intended? The reward lies by what we have intended. Everybody, every single person here knows the hadith. Innama al-amalu bin niyyat wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa. Your actions will be judged according to your intentions. And you will be rewarded accordingly. So imagine your intention is to practice every single aspect of deen. Your reward goes hand in hand with what intention you have. So if intention is for every aspect of deen, then you get rewarded as if you have implemented every aspect of deen, even though you have not done so yet. But one needs to make an effort to get to that point then, because an intention without an effort towards that intention is no true intention in the first place. So how does one go about in practicing everything of deen while that intention is there to do so? One takes it one step at a time. A mountain is a whole lot of smaller stones all piled onto each other. Each stone builds a mountain. So it takes one stone at a time, one step at a time. We look into our own lives, each one of us will have a different thing to look at in our own lives. And we ask ourselves, which one of the fara'id am I negligent of personally? And I'll start with that one fard I'm going to do. We'll find 50 fara'id that we are negligent of. But I'll start with this one fard first. And I set myself a goal that within the next month, 2 months, 3 months, I want that fard to become such a part of my life that it will never be neglected again. And we focus all our attention on that one fard. I want one sunnah which is negligent in my life, and for the next month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever amount of time it takes, I'll work on that one sunnah to get it such a part of my life that it will never be neglected again. And then I look at one haram, and all of us, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us, all of us are sinful, which means all of us are indulging in something which is haram, because makruh doesn't make you sinful. Indulging in something which is makruh, does not make you sinful. The definition of a karaha, of makruh, is what? That thing for which if one indulges, there is no sin, but if one stays away, there is reward. So which means if there's no sin in makruh, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying all of us are sinful, which means something in our lives we are doing which is haram. So which one of the haram things I will cut away from my life? And I'll set my goal that X amount of time, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, it must be completely out of my life to such an extent where I cannot imagine my life with that thing back in my life again. But if one tries to do everything at the same time, and I'm going to change my entire life overnight, then we know we're setting ourselves up for failure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is ala kulli shayin qadir, He's capable of doing anything. Allah Ta'ala created this world and what it contains in 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. But 6 days. If Allah Ta'ala is really capable of everything, then إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If Allah Ta'ala wishes something, He merely says كُنْ and it's there. Why didn't Allah Ta'ala just say كُنْ and the entire dunya and whatever it contains is there? Why take 6 days? When Allah Ta'ala sent down this Quran to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why in a period of 23 years? Why not say kun and the entire Quran is the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Well, ulama give various reasons. One reason that I have discovered is Allah Ta'ala is actually teaching us. Take things step by step. Do things little bit at a time. That tadrij, that slowly but slowly building on each other, that is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is tadrij. It's to do things little bit at a time and building on each other. So similarly, in our implementation of this deen, let us not try to rush in and do everything, and the sooner one rushes in, the sooner one rushes out. So make an intention that one fard which is negligent in my life, I'll make it part of my life, such a part of my life which I cannot imagine my life without it. One sunnah, I'll make it part of my life, such a part of my life I cannot imagine my life without it. And one haram, I'll abstain so completely that I cannot imagine it becoming part of my life again. And that is amalu bit tanzeel. Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu then carries on and he says the third quality is ar-ridha bil qaleel. To be content with little. Now if you should ask in this masjid, if I should ask every person, tell me what is little for you. Give me little in terms of a rand value. Then if you have 400 people in this masjid, I'll have 400 different answers. Because defining little will depend on the individual, and that individual's income will change his mind into what his definition will be of little. So little is not a constant for everyone, where everyone's definition is the same of little. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's definition of little is very easy. Everything in this world is little. Because compared to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this? Compared to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everything that every one of the human beings combined owns, it still doesn't take away a drop in the ocean of the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Allah ta'ala says ar-ridha bil qaleel, being content with, or when Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu, sorry, says ar-ridha bil qaleel, being content with little, then he means whatever we have. Because what we have compared to the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is little. So whether you be someone who earns 100 rand per week, or whether you be someone who earns 1 billion rand per week, it's still little. But being content with that little will make one wealthy. It will make one rich. Because true wealth is not the amount that's in the bank account. True wealth is how content the heart is with what one has. One finds Sahaba radhiyallahu anhu such as Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu, who in the initial stages of his Islam lived in the masjid. was part of Ashab al-Suffa. And you find Sahab radhiyallahu anhu, such as Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radhiyallahu anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the third Khalifa of Islam. They were on two opposite spectrums of the financial finances. The one was absolutely poor, did not even have a home of his own, did not have an income, would follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go, so that he can also get something to eat. On the other hand, Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu was so wealthy that when the call was made that this army needs to go out, but this army does not have much, then Sayyidina Uthman radhiyallahu anhu stood up and he said, I donate 100 camels fully laden with whatever is required. Now, Jamaat Muslimin, just try to picture 100 camels fully laden. Then you take a truck today, fully laden with whatever is required on that truck. He gives 100 trucks full, truckloads. Says, that's what I need. Nabi Sallam makes a call again. He says, oh Nabi of Allah, I give another 100 camels fully laden with whatever is required. Nabi Sallam third time asked, who is there to donate in the cause of Allah? Sayyidina Uthman Duan stands up again. And he says, oh Nabi of Allah, I give another 100 truckloads fully laden with whatever it requires. Is there anybody here in this masjid who is prepared to give 300 truckloads fully laden with whatever is required to go to Turkey or Syria at the moment now? Must I do it tablighi style? Tablighi style, book and pen, right? Wait for the people, make tashkil. It's not in our nature to do that because we don't have the quality of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan in our hearts yet. But what I'm trying to get at is Sayyidina Uthman, as wealthy as he was poor. He had little compared to the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what Sayyidina Abu Hurairah had was little compared to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib says, Ar-Ridha bil Qaleel, to be satisfied and content with that little, then it refers to whatever we have, that is little. But saying Alhamdulillah and being content, my heart is at ease, this is what my Rabb has decided for me. Being content does not mean one does not attempt to improve the situation. Does not mean one does not improve the situation. One needs to go out and seek your rizq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Surah Jum'ah. A'udhu billahi min shaytan rajim. Fa'idha qudiyat as-salatu fantashiru fil ard wabtahu min fadlillah. Allah ta'ala tells us, when that salah of Jum'ah is completed, then fantashiru fil ard. Go out in this world and seek the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to work. It does not mean we have to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala decided I must be a pauper, therefore I'm not going to make any effort to do anything besides that. No, we should go out and seek the rizq, but be content with what Allah Ta'ala has given. That is true wealth, because that's wealth in the heart. So this is number three that Sayyidina Ali ibn Talib radhiyallahu anhu defines the third part of his definition of taqwa. And the fourth part, Sayyidina Ali radhiyallahu anhu tells us, is al-isti'adadu liyawm al-raheem. Make preparations for the day of our journey. To make preparations for the day of our journey. So I'm going to Pine Lake Marin. Is that the journey that he's speaking of? No, he's speaking about a much greater journey. The journey from this world to the year after. Making preparations for that journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. In another riwayah, أَكْثِرُوا مِنْ ذِكْرِ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. In another riwayah, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ هَذِ مِنْ لَذَّاتِ. الموت. Increase your remembrance of that thing which will cut off all your pleasures, which is death. Prepare oneself for that journey. Because if I realize that today is my last day, I will live my life in such a way that I ensure that Allah Ta'ala is happy with me. I ensure absolute certainty I want to be. I want to have absolute certainty that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is pleased with me. But for some strange reason, insan, we have this tulul amal. We've got this high hopes that, you know what, in 20 years time we'll go for Hajj. Not ready now, in 20 years inshallah I'll go for Hajj. What guarantee do we have we live to see Asr Salah today? But we're planning for 20 years that we're going to go for Hajj. I'm not ready now. I'm not going to give sadaqah today. I'll do that once I reach R1 million in my bank account. Then I'll give sadaqah. No guarantee, forget about Asr Salah, no guarantee that I'll be able to complete this sentence I'm busy with at this moment. But we're speaking about 10 years from now and 20 years from now. Strange how insan was, eh? Subhanallah. Toolul amal. That high hopes that we've got. But al-isti'adad liyawm al-raheel, to prepare for that final journey. Jamaat Muslimin, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells a hadith which it brings joy to my heart and it brings fear in my heart at the same time. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that man ahabba liqa' Allahi, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Whoever loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to meet that person. May Allah ta'ala make all of us of those people who love to meet Allah and who Allah ta'ala loves to meet. But the hadith continues. وَمَنْ كَرِهَ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. Whoever dislikes meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala similarly will dislike meeting that person. So I've got higher hopes that Allah ta'ala must make me of those people who will love to meet Allah, and thereby Allah ta'ala will love to meet me. But at the same time, I've got this great fear that what if I'm not ready to meet Allah? Will Allah want to meet me? Jamaat Muslimin, the four qualities of taqwa, al-khawf min al-jaleel, to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning fearing our misdeed which will encounter the wrath of Allah. Al-amal bil-tanzeel, to practice upon revelation, which means Quran and Sunnah. Number three, al-ridha bil-qaleel, to be satisfied and content with whatever Allah ta'ala has given to us. And number four, to make preparations for that final journey, the journey from this world to the year after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the muttaqeen. May Allah ta'ala make it such that when we reach the month of Ramadan, we actually acquire the qualities of taqwa, inshaAllah. May Allah ta'ala grant us all khair and barakah in our lives. And may Allah ta'ala make it this Ramadan a very prosperous Ramadan for each and every one of us and our families, inshaAllah. Wa akhir da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Mawlana Ilyas Samadi for the beautiful Nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Sheikh long life with barakah and khair, success in this world and the year after, inshallah. Ameen, thumma ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understanding. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to have the taqwa which is deserving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A few announcements in remembrance of Marhum Ali Kara, who passed away 29 years ago today. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him in all diseases Jannatul Firdaus, inshallah. Ameen. The Institute of Memorizing of Quran will be having the Ramadan Expo on Saturday, 11th March 2023 at Filiya School, 108 Milnerton Road, Kutut, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will also be a breakfast, braai and more. Also jumping castle and other games and activities for the youth. Please do support this worthy cause. Futsals, please support the futsals in the garage after Juma. We're also selling Papa Bites in the garage at a cost of 5 rand per packet. The money for the Papa Bites goes towards Turkey and Syria earthquake relief to support this worthy effort, inshallah. Ameen. And last but not least, we want to say Jazakallah khair to all those who contributed towards our Nifsi Sha'ban program. The program was mashallah successful, alhamdulillah. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant those people long life with barakah and khair, inshallah. Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allah'a emanet olun.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله في أموركم كلها وتمسكوا بسنة الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وعرف سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه التقوى بأنه هو الخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل والرضا بالقليل والاستعداد ليوم الرحيل وعرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الرحيل وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن يوم الرحيل فقال أكثروا ذكر هذا من اللذات بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في علاه ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي اصطفاه صلى الله وسلم عليه وزاده فضلا وشرا لديه وصلى على الآل وأصحاب وتابعين لهم إحسان أما بعد فيا أحبتي في الله اتقوا الله في أموركم كلها وتمسكوا بسنة الحبيب المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد ورضى الله من الخلفاء الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وأنصار أصحاب أجمعين والتابعين لهم إحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم بعفوك وكرمك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والكفرة والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين واجعل كلمتك هي العليا إلى يوم الدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله تعالى يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وجل وهم وتم وأعظم أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون قم إلى صلاتكم رحمكم الله
الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفرنا العظيم، استغفرنا العظيم، استغفرنا العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، نتوب إليه ونسأله توبة مغفرة إنه هو التواب الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا وقرة أعيننا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام ولك يعود السلام، فحينا ربنا بالسلام ودخلنا الجنة برحمتك دار السلام. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا، غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. السلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.